877-8 my take or my take at thetakeaway.org. All morning long, we've been talking about a headline from a study which came out Monday in the Archives of Internal Medicine, which tracked nearly 500,000 people ranging from middle to old age over the course of 10 years. The broad, so-called longitudinal epidemiological study, public health study of middle-aged to older-age people over the course of a decade showed that those who ate the equivalent of a hamburger a day were 30% more likely to die during the period under review. Red meat is possibly hazardous to your health. And joining us to explain both the study and its results is Barry Popkin, professor of nutrition at the University of North Carolina, Chapel Hill, where he heads the Division of Nutritional Epidemiology and also has an editorial in the journal in question, the Archives of Internal Medicine, which published the study. Professor Popkin, thanks so much for being with us.
Oh, my pleasure.
What does this show, and how alarmed should we be about the health implications of red meat?
This study shows essentially that if you're a man between the age of 50 and 70, and there are about 25 million men there, that you would increase your risk by about 25 to 30% of dying if you consumed essentially the equivalent of 5 to 7 ounces of red meat a day. That's about a Whopper. So that if you, and in contrast to people who consumed less than an ounce a day, or that's a Whopper a week. So going from one steak a day or one Whopper a day to once a week would reduce your risk of dying by 25 to 30%. And to put that in real terms, that would mean about 1 million reduced deaths over that 10-year period for those just 50 to 70. That's where we have about 25 million men. The risks are about the same in terms of reduction for women, but there are fewer female deaths during that period, so the numbers aren't quite so stark. But the point is, this is a lot of extra deaths saved. And this is a very well-done study. They controlled for your weight. They controlled for your fruit and vegetable intake, your drinking, your smoking, your supplement use. So this is the additional effect of just consuming red meat.
So they control the variables. So you really do see the implications of red meat versus moderate amounts of red meat once a week, as you say. Let's describe with some specificity what's actually going on in the bodies of the people who ended up dying during the course of the study.
Well, we could speculate on this. We have some idea. Clearly, we understand that the saturated fat in red meat is particularly pernicious for both heart diseases and cancer, particularly colorectal cancer. We also know there's some iron and there's some other substances in red meat. Possibly it's because it's processed and has a lot of other items in them that we don't understand so well today. But the full extent of all the mechanisms aren't truly understood. But there's enough speculation on this that really for 30 to 40 years we've been suggesting and saying people needed to moderate their meat intake. This is the first study that had such careful data on such a large representative sample of people of retirement age, members of AARP, that we can say that it's a little bit more like the Rolls-Royce of studies such as this done in the U.S.
Now, it focused on people of a particular age, as you just mentioned. Is there something particular about age and red meat and saturated fats that is of interest here, or was this population more or less randomly chosen?
This population was a randomly selected population. Of course, there's more death in that age group from heart disease and cancer than there are at younger ages. And the problems at younger ages today are obesity, diabetes, hypertension, and, of course, increasing deaths. But the mortality rates are higher there, so the results are clearer. But we don't have the same kinds of studies with the same numbers in younger ages that I would really be willing to say definitively that the problem would exist in any age. But generally speaking, we recommend the same questions of moderate your red meat intake for all age groups.
And again, I guess the question really is, you know, we're speculating about what it does to the body particularly, but are there qualities to either the fat or the protein in red meat that are fundamentally different from other available sources of these nutrients?
Absolutely there are, but I would hesitate to give the full set of mechanisms because they're not fully understood. But I should add that these results were backed up by a second set of analyses looking at the effects of processed meat. And processed meats are hot dogs, sausages, pepperoni, cold cuts. And that's even more stark. If you consume about an ounce a day of those red meats, those processed meats, that's essentially a hot dog a week, you are going to increase your risk in a comparable manner of death. So that going from eating some processed meat, a hot dog a week, to once a month or to every 2 months will cut the same kind of make the same kind of savings in your long-term health. So the processed meats are a little clearer because we know there's a direct effect not only of the high amounts of saturated fat in those processed meats, but the nitrates and the salts. So for a long time, the World Cancer Research Federation, American Institute of Cancer Research, and other groups have been saying, cut out your processed meats. This study says processed meats affect total deaths, not just colorectal cancer deaths or some limited types of heart disease problems, but total mortality as well.
So it's a very overall health issue. And really, again, the study tracked 500,000 people, middle to old age, over the course of 10 years. As you say, the Rolls Royce of studies suggesting that there's a 30% greater likelihood to die over that period of time, depending upon your intake of red meat. Barry Popkin, professor of nutrition at the University of North Carolina, thanks so much for being with us.
My pleasure.
And now Mark Garrison has the headlines.
Thank you, John. Coming up on 21 minutes before the hour.
Since WNYC's first broadcast in 1924, we've been dedicated to creating the kind of content we know the world needs. In addition to this award-winning reporting, your sponsorship also supports inspiring storytelling and extraordinary music that is free and accessible to all. To get in touch and find out more, visit sponsorship.wnyc.org.